From Spark and Anvil and Figure Forge, this is Chain in Chapter 1 of the Figure Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
The detectives found Trope waiting by the blacksmith's shed. The air inside smelled of sulfur, charred oak, and cold iron. On the soot-stained wall, rows of heavy metal links hung from iron pegs, catching the gray afternoon light. Beside them sat something else, coiled on a wooden crate like a discarded length of anchor chain. Then, with a sudden scrape of metal, the chain moved. It slid down the side of the crate with a dry metallic rattle that made the children jump. The detectives stepped back, their boots crunching on the coal dust that covered the floor. The creature was long and supple, made of interlocking brass loops that gleamed in the dim light of the forge. Each flat link was stamped with a single, sharp letter sound. "Watch your step," Trope said, nodding toward the newcomer with a small, knowing smile. "She is always a bit lively when the weather turns cold." The chain coiled herself into a neat, springy pyramid on the dusty floor. She looked up with two small dark eyes stamped onto her lead link, blinking in the gloom. "Big blue balloon," she said, her voice sounding like brass spoons clinking in a velvet bag. As she spoke, three of her links, the ones stamped with the letter B, slid together. They locked together with a sharp, musical clink that echoed in the small room. The rest of her body remained loose, but those three links formed a rigid, shining bar. "Did you hear that?" the girl with the ink-stained fingers asked, leaning closer to the creature. Her body literally snapped together like a puzzle. The chain gave a pleased rattle, her tail end wagging against the wooden floorboards. "That is my craft," she said, her links chiming like a pocket full of old coins. "My name is Chain, and I keep the alliteration when words near each other start with the same sound." She uncoiled herself, slithering across a dusty anvil with an easy, fluid grace. "Silly, slippery sneak," she whispered, her eyes shining as she watched the children's faces. Five links stamped with S rushed together, locking with a rapid series of metallic snaps. The sound was like a hand running down a metal xylophone. "All those S words link up hand in hand," Chain explained. The repeated first sound changed them together, making the phrase fun to say and easy to remember.
The boy with the chipped tooth stepped forward, squinting at her brass body. "Show us how it works on a normal sentence," he said, nudging a pile of iron shavings with his boot. "Give us something boring and flat so we can see the difference." Chain stretched herself out along the workbench, her links clattering softly against a heavy, rusty iron vise. "Very well," she said, her head resting on a piece of sandpaper. "Here is a plain line." The wind moved through the trees. She lay perfectly still, her brass links remaining dull and silent on the dark wood. The words sat in the cold air of the shed, feeling separate and heavy. "It gets the job done," the boy said, shrugging his shoulders as he looked at the floor. "But it does not exactly sing to the reader." "Exactly, because a flat sentence has no music to hold it up," Chain said, her eyes flashing with a sudden bright light. "Now, let us give the wind some teeth and listen to the difference." She raised her head, her brass eyes gleaming in the dim light of the forge. The wild wind whispered through the willows. A sudden, sharp series of clinks echoed through the quiet rafters of the shed. Four of her links, each stamped with a bold W, flew together and locked with a satisfying clack. The entire length of her body seemed to hum with the clean, musical energy that vibrated the workbench. The phrase flowed through the room like a sudden breeze, making the dust motes dance. "Feel how they pull together?" Chain asked, her voice vibrating through her locked metal body. Wild, wind, whispered, willows. The matching first sounds chain the words into one smooth run. It catches the ear and sticks in the mind much longer. The girl with the notebook grinned, tapping her yellow pencil against her chin. "It is almost like the words are holding hands across the page." "Precisely," Chain said, her links chiming in agreement as she uncoiled herself. "They hold hands so they do not get lost in the crowd."
Trope watched the children, a rare, quiet smile touching his face. He turned his gaze to the brass creature resting on the workbench. "My detectives are struggling," Trope said,
his voice low and serious. They write flat lists of clues, but nothing links together and nothing flows. I want you to join our cast and teach them how to chain their sounds. Chain's entire body rattled with sudden, bright excitement at the invitation. She looped herself into a joyful figure eight, her loose links clinking like pocket change. "Oh, I would love that," she cried, her tail tapping the wood. "I will teach them how to make their words sing in the dark." So Chain joined the detective cast, and the flat reports in the notebooks began to change. Their phrases began to clink, to lock, and to flow with a new music.
During the afternoon lessons, Chain was always at the front of the room. She would coil herself on the teacher's desk, watching the detectives work on their cases. "Pick a sound," she would instruct, her voice ringing clear across the desks. "Find two or three words near each other that start with that same sound. Dancing daisies, crooked crows, a marvelous magical morning. Link them up and read them aloud so you can feel the rhythm." The boy with the chipped tooth was staring at his page, his brow furrowed in frustration. He had written a description of a storm, but the words felt heavy and dead. "It just sounds like a weather report," he muttered, tapping his eraser against his temple. Chain slithered down his desk, her brass body looping over the edge of his notebook. She peered at his messy handwriting with her small, dark eyes. "Let us look at your storm," she whispered, her links rustling like dry leaves. "What does the wind actually do when the storm hits?" "It blows hard," the boy said, chewing on his pencil. "Let us make it sweep," Chain suggested, her tail twitching. "Let us make it strong and full of energy." Together, they worked on the line, testing different words until they fit. With Chain's help, the boy wrote, "The storm's strong, sweeping squalls." As he read the words aloud, Chain's links snapped together with a sharp, electric crack. The line suddenly had a wild, whistling music that sounded like the wind itself. The boy's eyes widened, a slow smile spreading across his face. "It actually sounds like a real storm now." "Now it flows," Chain said, her links chiming softly. "And because it flows, your reader will remember the cold sting of the wind." But the lesson was not finished yet, and Chain had one more thing to show them. Another detective, inspired by the sound, began writing furiously in her leather-bound notebook. She filled her entire page with the letter P, giggling as she scribbled the words. "Listen to this," the girl cried, standing up to read her paper to the class. "Peter's purple puppy playfully paced past the pretty pond." As the girl spoke the words, Chain's body went wild with a sudden frantic movement. Dozens of P-links rushed together from different angles, colliding in a frantic rush. With a loud, metallic screech, Chain's body snarled into a tight, messy knot on the desk. She fell over on her side, completely unable to move even a single inch of her body. "Help!" Chain squeaked, her head poking out from the center of the heavy brass tangle. The detectives rushed forward, carefully untangling her interlocking loops one by one. It took several minutes of gentle tugging to free her from her own words. Chain shook herself out, her brass links rattling with immense relief as she stretched. "Feel that?" she asked, her voice dry and slightly raspy from the squeeze. "A few linked sounds are catchy, but too many become a silly knot. It is impossible to say without tripping over your own tongue." The detectives laughed, but they carefully wrote the warning down in their books. "A little alliteration is a bright chain," Chain said, coiling herself back into a circle. "Too much of a good thing is just a tangle. You must link just enough, and then you must stop."
After the lesson, the classroom grew quiet as the sun began to set. The detectives packed their notebooks and headed out into the cool evening air. Chain coiled herself comfortably on a sunny patch of the wooden floor, idly clinking her links. For a long time, a quiet doubt had lived inside her brass loops. She had often wondered if she was just a gimmick in this world. The other figures in the valley did the heavy work of building plots and finding clues. She was just the creature who made words sound cute with her clinks. She made tongue twisters and silly rhymes that children laughed at. She had half believed that linking sounds was nothing more than cheap decoration. But now, coiled in the warm, fading light, she looked at her brass links differently. Linking sounds was not just a game for amusement. It did real, heavy work in the minds of the readers. It made a phrase stick, giving the words a physical weight that lasted. Half the ancient sayings and book titles that people remembered were chained by her. A deep, linked contentment settled through her metal body as she rested. She was not a simple gimmick after all. She was the chain that held a phrase together when everything else drifted away. She closed her eyes and clinked her links, content, in a soft and happy rhythm.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to chain. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.